How did community radio come about?
CRF, well,
yes.
It goes back to 1982, in fact. My first involvement with radio was in on a station called DCR, which was pretty well known in the latter years, but this was the very early version, the steam radio version, back in, I think it was about 1980. And I was invited to do a show, so I went off, and I was always nervous of radio myself, actually. I was very afraid. In fact, I turned down loads and loads of interviews over the years with stations such as ARD and a few more besides Radio Dublin and that, because I was afraid, just scared stiff, if you like, of radio. But I was invited to get involved with this DCR thing, and I decided I would. At that time, the transmitter was in the Crofton Airport Hotel, which is now defunct, I believe, and we were broadcasting from a studio in Gardner Place. Now, that was great crack, enjoyed it immensely and all the rest, and there's quite a few. Actually, you remember Alice from a couple of years ago, who was out with us at our party. Alice is one of my regular listeners in Dublin. Now, the only thing about it is, one of the great novelties of radio, really, is that you're broadcasting, initially, when you start off, there's not an awful lot of listeners, so you depend a lot on the people you know. Unfortunately, in the situation we were in, because the transmitter was so small, most of the people who knew me couldn't hear me, which is probably just as well. They wouldn't listen anyway, because I find that's probably what's happened lately.
No comment.
No comment. So I decided, after we had a lot of trouble with transmitters and equipment and so on, and I spent about 6 months there, and I picked things up fairly quickly. I don't mean they stick to my fingers or anything like that, but how to actually... I knew absolutely nothing about broadcasting whatsoever when I went in, and about, it was less than 6 months, it was about 4 months, I think, later, when there was a breakdown in the transmitter, and we seemed to be off the air more or less permanently. I decided that, with Dennis Neary, who was involved at that time too, that we should try and do something ourselves out in this area, because I've always been involved in communications, I've been involved in a couple of newspapers, in fact, 3 newspapers in the area. And I wanted to do the thing for the Fingal area. We got in contact with John O'Reilly in the Rockabilly Hotel, and we asked if there was a possibility of getting a room there to set up a studio. At this stage, we had no equipment or anything like that, but then you see, radio at our level, as we know it, doesn't command an awful lot of high-tech equipment, as you most listeners probably gathered. And if you have the knowledge, you can put together a setup fairly reasonable. That's in the illegal situation. We'll be talking about the legal situation later on. So we got the equipment together. We scrounged and begged and pleaded. In fact, most of the equipment was... the only thing we had to pay for, in fact, was a transmitter. And it was a small 350-watt transmitter at the time, medium wave, which we installed in the Rockabilly Hotel. And there's a funny story about that. Well, there's a lot of funny stories about that. But our first broadcast, in fact, was... We were in a room, a room area. I mean, people say our studio here is small. But the actual total space we had in the Rockabilly Hotel, the room, and I'll never forget the dimensions, it was 11 foot by 8 feet. And we had to divide that into two, into an office and into a studio.
No room to swing a cat, even.
We couldn't even find a cat at that time, you know. we were lucky to work with what we had. And in fact, there's some photographs around still where we had the walls were lined with egg boxes. I'm sure lots of people want to know what that was all about. But it was reckoned to be a great sound, not so much soundproofer as sound deadener. So if you know when you're in the bathroom and you've your four walls fairly in close proximity to you, that's why people like not swim in the bathroom. I haven't tried it yet, but they like to sing in the bathroom because your voice actually comes back. You sound as if you're in an echo chamber situation, and it makes you sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Never did anything for me, but some people it makes them sound good if they sing in the bath. And that was the problem we had with the studio, which was 8 foot wide by 5 foot deep. So that was the dimensions, I remember. of that first studio. Indeed, lots of listeners will remember. But eventually we got going. We had the egg boxes, egg cartons around, and because of their shape, they absorbed the sound rather than reflected it, which meant you didn't get this hollow, echoey sound. And we had a reasonably good sound.
Yeah.
Our first broadcast took place on the 28th of March, 1982. And our first DJ on the air was Pat Young, who pops in now and again and does a bit of a show for us occasionally.
That's right.
Better known as Pat Carr, of course, locally, but that was his radio name, Pat Young, who indeed was doing a show in DCR with us at the time. And Sunday afternoon, the 28th of February, 1982, I'll never forget it because I was actually leaving the technician back to town. He was from town and he'd no car and I had to bring him back into town. And we were listening to the first broadcast all the way into, I think, Christchurch, and it faded out of Christchurch. And I was a little bit disappointed that it only got that far.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I was going to hear it in Cork and everywhere else, but it doesn't work that way, not with a 350-watt transmitter. So then it was a matter of getting a few ads to pay the bills, and John O'Reilly looked after us fairly well. We didn't have many visitors in those days, although, funnily enough, there was a great atmosphere about when we were in the Rockabilly. A terrific atmosphere, because it was new to us all. I think it was Monday evening, the phone rang. No, it wouldn't have been. It would have been Tuesday. I think the phone... to give you an example, we're very lucky, in fact, when we got started off, because Skerry's had RTE, the community radio station, was in Skerry's for a week. And there was a big to-do and a big hullabaloo about this broadcast. They were having meetings for months and getting themselves organised and all the rest. And, in fact, we could have been on the air a bit sooner than we were.
Yeah.
But we decided that we'd hold on because their frequency was 202 on the medium wave and we were 189, which wasn't too far away.
Yeah.
So they closed down, in fact, on Saturday evening and we started off on Sunday. And we had an immediate listenership because people are, I'm talking to listeners, and they obviously know your habits, but particularly at weekends, they were listening to this thing, the Radio N thing or the RTE thing, because it was there were a lot of local voices on it and so on, and they didn't switch their radios on Saturday. They didn't listen. People in this area didn't listen to radio an awful lot on Sunday, and obviously when they tuned in, or maybe someone switched it on Sunday evening, because they never listen.
Mm.
You don't listen, sure you don't. They're not listening now. They're all switched off. But they don't actually listen. Sometimes they'll hear what you say and other times they don't. And they were, you know, I found this out afterwards, like, that a lot of people were, you know, they were told the broadcast is finished on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
End of story. But they still switched on Sunday evening to have a listen. And lo and behold, there was just a buzz.
Yeah.
Where they switched on. So they moved a little bit and there you are. Skerry's radio. Wow, they're still on.
Yeah.
I thought they were finished. So why were you listening? Because, well, we just thought we'd listen anyway. So we had an immediate listenership. And it was great for us. I think it was about 2 days afterwards, on Tuesday, when we got the telephone wired up. And, in fact, I was on the air. The phone was wired up. I used to do a show from 2:30 until 5. And I think the phone was wired up somewhere around about 3 o'clock, and I just said, our new phone number is, I can't remember what the phone number was, but said whatever the phone number, 490296 or something.
Mm.
Straight away the phone rang. Is that the radio station? Can I play a request? I mean, that was as good as $1 million. I mean, immediately, there was no delay whatsoever.
Remember the first caller? That's putting you back.
That's putting me back, all right. I don't think I can now. It was obviously someone local. Wasn't you, was it?
No, it wasn't me, because I was on RTE that morning getting interviewed.
You were not.
I was, yeah. That Saturday day, it closed on the Saturday evening at 6.
Oh, you were on at the weekend.
I was on.
Yeah, this would have been the following Tuesday now.
I was only getting interviewed, by the way. I wasn't doing DJ.
Oh no! I mean, you could have been. I mean, it was open to everybody.
That's right. I know.
Nobody. I mean, is this do you know who the first caller was?
No, I have no idea.
No,
I just
sorry,
thought,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it'd be nice to remember
to
the
remember.
First caller.
I don't, in fact, I think the first caller came from out, as far as I can remember, it wasn't Skerry's town, it was out in Barnegera or up the hills or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, for the life of me, I don't remember. But one of the callers I remember getting that evening, we had nobody on after I finished at 5, and we're still working on the equipment and getting it balanced and all the rest. But one of the callers I got that evening was Johnny Mack.
Mm-hmm.
And not Johnny Mack now from the Reardons, like they used to own the pub in the Reardons. Although our Johnny Mack could well look like him. But it was Johnny Mack who's, I remember what he said to me. He said, it's at the radio station, yeah. You're looking for DJs. And I said, well, yeah, we could be. I mean, who's calling?
Yeah.
And I said, my name is Johnny Mack. I do disco. So he said I'd be interested in getting involved. So I said, drop up and see us.
Yeah.
And we had him on the air the next day, the next evening. He actually used to go on from 7 to 9, I think it was. We only did 2.5 hour shows in those days, you know.
He wasn't known as Johnny Mack as the DJ then either. It was just John McDonough. It was me that christened him Johnny Mack.
Was that right?
Yeah, stuck
well,
to him.
Well, he said John McDonough. I think we kind of eventually got around to John. In fact, he when he went on the air, he went on as Johnny Mack, as far as I can remember. But that was, we had Fintan O'Hare, of course. Fintan was with us in DCR too. He started off on Monday morning,
mm-hmm.
the breakfast show. We used to play music at lunchtime. I went on at 2:30, from 2:30 to 5. Johnny Mack went on, I'm nearly sure, 7 to 9 or 7 to 9:30. I'm not
that's
sure.
That's right, in
seven,
around that
7 to 9:30. And we used to fill the space. It didn't take very long, though, because very soon Noel Power arrived on the scene. And Noel did the 8:30 to midnight.
Yeah.
He had all the young ones jumping around and listening to the...
Well, you had the old fellas jumping around as well.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But he played all the love songs. Did a great show too, I must say. We did no reflection on the existing situation, but everything was new and everything was a novelty.
Yeah,
it was a novelty to hear. I mean, I play my records. Maybe it sounds this way sometimes, but I have thousands and thousands and thousands of records, and I've probably played them all, every one of them, every track on every album, over the years. But at that time, it's the joy of actually listening to records for the first time. Records that, you know, you go into town and you buy a few records, oldies. I was into the oldies mostly in the Irish. Joe Dolan was very popular, of course, and still is. Not as popular now as he used to be. I mean, there was never a day went past you didn't play Joe Dolan 4 or 5 times on the show. Foster and Allen weren't really around at that stage. Who else have we got? I have a tape somewhere that I got. Somebody sent me a tape. I was just going to say that if anybody has tapes of the early days, before 82, before the disaster in December, which I'll tell the new listeners about, and I would say new listeners, I'm talking about before the fire listeners and the after the fire listeners. But do you want to go into a bit of music at this stage? How are we doing?
No,
you're in control anyway.
Oh,
so
I know.
I just thought you were going to go into the...
No.
But then Cindy arrived on the scene. She actually came down as these are all new names to a lot of listeners, I know for a fact, but she arrived looking for a job. She was still going to school and she wanted a job to answer the phone.
Yeah.
That was all she wanted to do. Now, the strange thing about the difference between there and here, or then and now, we had two rosters. We had a roster for DJs, which started at 8 o'clock in the morning. Damien arrived. Damien was a teacher up in Lusk in the school in the Man O' War. He arrived on the scene and he liked what he saw. He was from the north of Ireland, and the only show that would suit him was from 8 until, or from 7:30 until 9.
Yeah.
Or was it 7:30? No, 7:30 to 9:30. We never allowed single hour shows. It was 7:30 to 9:30. So he opted for that. So there we were on the air at 7:30. From 9, Fintan was down at 9. No, 9:30 Fintan was on at until 12. Then Cindy was there from 12 until 2:30. I was on from 2:30 until 5. Somebody else was on from 5 until 7. There was that evening time slot.
Yeah.
Johnny Mack then was on from 7 until 9. 7:30 to 9:30, and Noel Power from 9:30 to midnight. And the fun we used to knock out of that was absolutely great. But when I'm talking about the two rosters, there was a roster for DJs, mm-hmm. or presenters, as we prefer to call ourselves in those days, and still do, actually. And there was also a roster for telephonists.
Yeah.
We had a telephonist, not for every show, but we had them filling in the... I never had one in the afternoon. I prefer to handle my own phone calls, and I always did. But from, I think, around about 6 o'clock, from then on, there was always somebody in on manning the telephone.
Yeah.
And a lot of our DJs, Cindy was one of them. She started as a telephonist. Carmel Murta, who was with us in later well, actually not later years, she was with us in the first 6 months or so.
Well, Carmel is married now.
Carmel is married now up the north, in the north of Ireland. Damien has gone back to the north, as far as I know. He got married too. Where was I? Carmel, yes. Carmel started that with Michael Wilde, who was with us for, actually he was a bit back with us in Pulsar as well. Michael, who's the reigning poser at the moment in Bebriggan, Mr. Poser.
Well, there's one of them out in Dorking as well.
Can we just we want to offer congratulations yeah. to Michael at this stage, because Laura, a lot of romance started on CRF2. Laura, who was with us as a DJ, fell in love with Michael, who was with us as a DJ. And one of the rules we had was no studio romances, because it always led to trouble. If you fell out with one of them, the other one would leave as well, and you were left with two holes to fill rather than one. But as it turned out, this was a romance which blossomed anyway, and they got married, and they had a baby.
When?
I think just last week.
Oh, congratulations to them
both. Congratulations to them indeed. But I was talking about the fun. There's Liam Carabini, a fellow from Drumcondra with an Italian name. Liam was a hard case. He was on Saturday afternoons, and we had loads of things happening. We were challenged in the first, like we went on the air in March, and by the summer we had a big listenership. I remember the first call I got from out of the Skerries, Barnegear, the Hills area. Of course, talking about the Hills, the Magnificent Seven, the Burns.
That's right, yeah.
They were always forever grateful to Tony for the she used to bring in cream buns and apple tart. It was great. You see, the novelty wears off. Nobody brings us anything now.
Yeah. You got them in O'Leary's in Skerries as well.
Oh, I did, yes. Yeah, I did. I got them when we were in Skerries. That was great too. But we used to knock great fun out of everything, even making ads. You get a loan of it. I remember we got a loan of an echo chamber. Now, I know that it might be getting a bit technical for the listeners, but listeners, you're well aware that if you hear the ordinary voice, you know that's it. But if you hear an echoey kind of thing, there's an echo chamber involved. But we got a loan of this, and we really had great fun. I remember one of the ads we were doing up was for the Rockabille, and I hope John O'Reilly is not listening. But it was described the Rockabille, the hotel on the seafront, and meals, and your restaurant, and lounge bars, and all this kind of thing. But we got a bit fed up doing the real thing, so we decided we were going to have a bit of a laugh, you know. And we had this nice music running in the background. As you enter the front door of the Rockabille Hotel, you meet a man mountain called John.
Yeah.
And it went on and on and on. We had loads of stuff on that one. But that was the kind of atmosphere that was in it. It lent itself, like, to, because it was new, it lent itself to great fun. And the listeners knew we were, I mean, we're still having great fun. Let's face it, we wouldn't do it if we
great.
Weren't.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of fun. It's a grown-up version, if you like, of radio now than it was. There were so many things went wrong. You could actually be talking to someone on the phone. I know it happens occasionally with us, but you could be talking to someone on the phone, and you could be yapping away, and no records on. I know that happens occasionally here, but not. I mean, I'm talking about maybe 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it dawns on you. There's no record. or like the time we actually had a new mixer, and I was using the mixer for the first time, in fact, and the telephone rang, so I pushed up the fader, and I'm yapping away in the telephone. I pushed up the fader for this wasn't an on-air telephone call.
Yeah.
This was actually a private call, if you like, a call coming in from a listener, and I pushed up the fader for the music, and the music is blaring away. I could hear it in the speaker in the studio, and I'm saying, that's grand. I'm sitting back relaxing, I'm talking away to this lady who I met, funnily enough, in Donabate at a quiz one night. I think it was, or I did a disco there New Year's Eve, or wasn't New Year's Eve, whatever, a disco there not so long ago. And I met the same lady, I can't even remember her name now at this stage, but I was chatting away to her anyway, and we're talking about people that I knew from Donabate. And this was a great novelty, you see, to make contact, because when would I ever ring Donabate if I wasn't on the radio? Yeah. When would Donabate ever ring me? So I was talking about lads I went to school with and girls I knew and all the rest from the area. And as it turned out, the fader I pushed up was, in fact, the microphone fader. So, in fact, I was talking on the mic.
Yeah.
So all one side of my conversation, even though the music was coming, it's coming through the as we call it, the cue. You see, you can listen to the record playing before it actually goes out on air. You have to get it queued up at the start. And I'm listening on cue, you see, and I can hear the music, and I thought it was going out on the air. And in fact, it wasn't. The microphone was open, and the listeners got an earful of 4 minutes of an earful of one side of a conversation. And I'm happy to say it wasn't one of my worst phone calls, but I got about 5 phone calls immediately after that. Oh, Brian, did you know you left... Bernie Brignan was the first one on, I remember well.
Early.
And Mary McKeown, all the, you know. Did you know you left it? You left the microphone on? We could hear it, and we were very embarrassed for you. You know, because, like, you can just imagine, only one side of the conversation was going out. But things like that do happen. Like, for instance, the situation when we still had the transmitter down in Skerries. Initially, as I mentioned, we put the transmitter into the hotel in Skerries. And medium wave transmission is different than FM. FM works just from a direct aerial. It just works out. But on medium wave, you have to have earth wires, like poles, earth rods sunk into the ground. And you have to have a load of those to get... And the better your earth, the better your FM or your medium wave signal. And we could never figure it out, but there were certain times in the day when we were getting phone calls from places like Black Rock, Dunleary, which is commonplace now.
Yeah.
But at that time, when you were talking about a transmitter which was only a third the power that we have at the moment. And we get the phone calls, and then they disappear. And then another day, at a different time maybe, we start to get 2 or 3 phone calls in. Couldn't figure it out at all. So eventually we sussed out what it was. The earth, you see, were sunk into the ground at the back of the hotel.
Yeah.
When the tide came in, the water was soaking in underneath everything. Now, people in Skerries might know this, but you're sitting on a load of water, guys. I can tell you, when the tide comes in, you see, it was all on sand.
Yeah.
And the water actually soaked through the sand, which made a much better earth. You were actually making contact with the sea. And up went the power. The power of the transmitter went sky
boosted
high.
It.
Yeah. And then when the tide went out, down it went again.
You didn't look to see was there any winkles left behind
there
when could, the tide
there
went
could
out.
Well have been. There could well have been. Actually, we got out of there so fast that we didn't have a chance to look at winkles. But luckily enough, it's an ill wind that doesn't blow somebody good. We were getting problems. It's called RF. It's a transmitter problem, which when a medium wave, like for instance, the medium wave transmitter is beside my house. And occasionally I can actually hear the big TR show on the kettle. It comes in on all the electrical equipment, even on the iron. If you hold the iron up, it's vibrating to the thing. That's because the transmitter is closed. And we started to get RF problems in Skerries.